Hi, it's Brock Romanek, editor of DealLawyers.com. I'm here today with Homer Moyer, who's a partner at Miller & Chevalier, and Homer's been very involved in Foreign Corrupt Practices Act matters for many years. He's chaired over 15 conferences on the topic and is a founder of the firm's international department and former member of the firm's executive committee. And there's been so much going on with FCPA investigations over the past year, I thought I'd touch base with Homer to talk a little bit how that might be impacting deal-making. So the first question I have for you, Homer, is why has there been a rise in these Foreign Corrupt Practices Act investigations?
Brock, thanks. Pleasure to be with you this morning. There are a number of factors that explain the increase in cases, which has been pretty dramatic. A steady rise since, the mid-90s, and a very high level of activity right now. One of the reasons is Sarbanes-Oxley, because Sarbanes-Oxley had the effect, probably the unintended effect, of encouraging voluntary disclosure of FCPA issues. And that has caused companies to disclose publicly more frequently than was the case prior to Sarbanes-Oxley. Enforcement officials have picked up on that and have very actively encouraged voluntary disclosure. And indeed, in recent policy pronouncements, senior enforcement officials have strongly encouraged voluntary disclosures, have promised more favorable treatment for those companies that disclose voluntarily, and implicitly suggested less favorable treatment for those that do not, whose violations come to light. And so there has been a significant, a perceptible uptick in voluntary disclosures, and voluntary disclosures account for a pretty significant percentage of the enforcement actions that we see coming from the departments. So those have been significant factors. Also a factor, I think, is the advent of a series of international conventions. These came in the latter half of the 90s. A consequence of those has been that several dozen countries have now adopted laws similar to the FCPA. And although some have been slow to enforce those laws actively, enforcement has begun, and foreign enforcement actions have generated cases through government-to-government referrals to the U.S. And there's some large-scale investigations that are now underway that were triggered by investigations in Europe, for example, and information that flowed back to the United States. Both agencies, both the Justice Department and the Securities and Exchange Commission, have increased their staffing over the last two or three years. And that may sound like a not terribly newsworthy item, but the enforcement staff capability in the past was pretty limited, and the increase in resources in both agencies has also coincided with, not surprisingly, an increase in the number of investigations and a higher level of activity. And those of us who spend a lot of time with these agencies see that pretty dramatically. And finally, which brings us directly to your topic, there has in the last two or three years been a series of cases involving mergers and acquisitions. And they have triggered a new level of activity in connection with transactions. Acquisitions of other companies, and that has created a new chapter, if you will, in FCPA compliance and enforcement. So it's a number of different factors. The trend is unmistakably clear and has increased the amount of attention dramatically in the corporate community.
So drilling down a little bit deeper into your last thought there, how can these investigations impact a deal?
Well, the central principle is the principle of successor liability. If you own a company and I own a company and you acquire me, if I have FCPA violations or issues that are unresolved, you inherit those. And through the principle of successor liability, you may become liable for violations that occurred not on your watch, but on mine. And this principle was first applied in recent years in terms of international regulation in the export controls area, but it very quickly appeared in the FCPA area. And we had a quick succession of four high-profile cases, and a fifth one came out last week, all involving FCPA issues arising in the context of a merger or acquisition. And the impact it can have can be dramatic, depending on the scale and seriousness of the violation in the target company. That can have a significant impact potentially on the acquiring company post-closing. There could be an enforcement action. There could be an investigation. If the problems are serious enough, it could affect the value of the company being acquired, could affect the price depending on how the deal is structured. And one of the new penalties being imposed by the SEC could be quite significant, and that is disgorgement of profits. In recent cases, the SEC has, in addition to imposing fines and penalties and requiring companies to retain compliance, independent compliance monitors or consultants, the agency has required companies to disgorge profits directly attributable to an improper payment or bribe of a foreign official. And, of course, depending on the facts and the circumstances, that could be a very substantial sum of money. If a bribe was critical in securing an entitlement, a license to operate, for example, that generated substantial downstream profits, that could become a very big number. And we're seeing that in many enforcement actions. So if you take that phenomenon and that legal principle, what you see in the recent series of cases is that FCPA due diligence has become a quite common M&A technique, often separate from the traditional M&A due diligence. But companies, acquiring companies, have begun to address these issues, the FCPA issues, as a part of or a type of due diligence to see if the target company has violations that have been unaddressed that could come to light, or issues or a high-risk profile, for example. So that due diligence process allows the acquiring company or the two companies together, if there are violations or open issues, to resolve those or try to resolve those before closing. And it obviously better informs the acquiring company, avoids the potential of the acquiring company inheriting the violation and resolving it in its own name, as opposed to the name of the target company. And that was plainly the concern of some of the companies involved in the cases that have been reported. And that due diligence process also has the benefit of substantially facilitating the post-closing integration process of the two companies with respect to their compliance programs and practices and procedures. So the impact can be pretty significant and has been already in a number of cases.
So for a company considering a deal, what can it do to minimize the risk from potential FCPA investigation?
Well, if it's the acquirer, it can begin by asking the right questions, asking if the company in which it's interested has FCPA issues, if it has had FCPA issues arise. It could ask about its compliance program, its FCPA compliance program, how that has worked, and get a sense of the level of literacy or sophistication that the target company has in this area. It can insist on a variety of contractual provisions, reps, warranties, possibly indemnification, escape clauses if appropriate, and it can require due diligence, an FCPA due diligence, and a risk assessment, and that's what many companies are doing now. They and many investors. It's not just company-to-company takeovers, but the possibility of residual liabilities, obviously important for passive investors or investment banks and the like. If, on the other hand, the company is the target company, it can do some things to anticipate this process and manage it and reduce the cost of it simply by doing some of the homework and the due diligence itself in advance. May want to look at whether it should tweak its own compliance program. The bar for best practices in compliance programs keeps getting ratcheted up by enforcement agencies, so it's pretty useful to take a fresh look every year or so, see what's new. So a target company can minimize some of the risks. There was one case in which the entire deal cratered because the target company, in which some issues did appear, was unable to resolve them by the closing date. And so that deal collapsed, and that's obviously a risk. Yeah. Working together, the companies can try to avoid that. They can plan the post-closing integration process. Depending on the circumstances, they may need to work out a confidentiality agreement prior to closing. But if there's a cooperative spirit there, the two companies together can do a lot to avoid the 11th hour problem, which could put the deal at risk.
Well, I really appreciate your time, Homer. This has been very informative, and it seems like these well-publicized investigations keep rolling out week after week, so I'm sure there's going to be more to come.
Looks like there will be some more.
Yeah. Thanks very much.
Brock, thank you. My pleasure.